Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview with Michael Mendez. Michael started out his life loving music, loving singing, and wanting only to get better and better and better at it. And his desire to get better and better as a singer has led to a career as not only a singer, but an actor and a dancer and a one-person show performer. Listen to Michael talk about how that evolved. Listen to the energy and the passion and the serendipity of his young life. Stay tuned. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can.
Show. The Lynn Show is about being who you are. As I say in almost every show, it's not about being who you think you have to be. It's not about being who you think other people want you to be. It's not about being the person other people told you you had to be. It's not about being the person other people are. This is what so many people are doing, living lives that have virtually nothing or almost nothing to do with who they really are, living lives that have somehow been dictated by what others think, want, do, are, insist, demand. And in our early life, we are completely vulnerable to what others want, say, insist, demand. Not only parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, neighbors, teachers, religious organizations, the culture we grew up in. All of these have ideas about who we should be. And if you're not lucky enough to live in an environment where people want you to be who you really are, or I suppose if you're not lucky enough to simply be who these people want you to be, then we learn as children to first subtly and then completely deny important parts of ourselves in order to fit in order not to be left out, in order to be approved of, cared for, loved, appreciated. We begin to separate ourselves from significant pieces of ourselves, significant ways in which we are. Unfortunately, this happens to so many of us that it just feels right. The problem is, it doesn't really feel right. We all know when we are somehow at odds with ourselves. We all know that feeling that we are flawed or wrong or bad, or, you know, people say, you know, if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. This is a terrible, terrible way to feel. So the Lynn Show is about saying, you are who you are. And if your early life discouraged you from being that whole you, it may not be too late to recover that you. Because when you are who you really are, oh, it just feels so much better. And life is so much easier. And it takes so much less energy to suppress. So in my show, I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. Because when you listen to people who are making their living or even just large chunks of their life with an art, you can hear what it sounds like to be who you really are. It's clear. And today's interview is with Michael Mendez, who at, I think he said he was 23, is already consumed by who he really is. You will hear him say at the end how lucky he is. And of course he is. But the luck began early in his life when he fell in love with singing and was not discouraged, but was encouraged to pursue that passion. I don't want to tell you Michael's story because he tells it better. So here now, Michael Mendez. I am here with Michael Mendez. I interview people who make their living or their life with an art. It's very clear that the art to which you seem to be giving your life is the art of theater. I know you sing, you dance, you act, you entertain. Would you agree? I mean, if...
Yeah, it's funny because I started out looking for guidance in music, and just for singing purposes. And I found an opportunity that came through when it came to theater. Theater needed guys. I needed singing lessons or practical training in my mind at the time. So that was always like the exchange. Since I was 15 years old, that's how I always thought about the journey. You give me a part that I will work hard towards, but in the end, this is what I'm getting. This is the type of growth that I'm getting. And from there on out, the theater bug bit me. I tried to run away a couple times.
Yeah. So I only ask this one question, and it is, do you remember the very first moment that singing, that music captured you, that creating the sound yourself or listening to other people sing or watching or any of that? Do you remember it?
Yes. I remember. I mean, we all grow up singing in the shower.
Well, we don't and all.
We don't all. Well,
but you did. Some,
yes, but I did. Well, I know a lot of people like to sing in the shower. But I grew up, you know, singing in the shower, and you come to self-realization that this doesn't sound too bad. I seem to be in tune with the radio. I don't seem to be breaking any windows and mirrors. But I grew up in New York, and New York is already a melting pot of different cultures. You have Spanish music playing on one side, jazz music playing on another side, Punjab music coming through from the taxis. So a lot of different influences came in, especially me coming from another country into America.
Oh, when did you come?
I came when I was 3.
From
Dominican Republic. But even as a 3-year-old, I mean, there's a language barrier you have to beat right there. It's not like you just, oh, I'm here, 3, let's learn English. But while learning English and absorbing all these musical textures. I began to sing, and I didn't know that I can sing until I moved to Florida.
Well, okay, hold on. I'm really interested in this. Do you remember the learning of English and how you did that?
I don't recall fully. I just remember that for a couple months it was really hard to connect with people, and then all of a sudden it just kind of clicked in and I was able to speak, but even then my English was broken for a long time, where it was Spanglish, and now it's still Spanglish, but a lot worse.
But now it's a choice.
Now it's a choice, yes. Now it's a choice. It's like, I don't know this word in English, let's switch to Spanish. But, so learning English and then learning songs in English helped the development of that whole language barrier.
Is your family interested in music?
Only my uncle. Only me and my uncle out of the whole family have any musical talent. We don't know where it comes from. We think it comes from my grandmother, his mother, and that lineage around there. Somebody was a musician of some sort, but we're the only two.
Yeah, so you're not getting any of this from anybody. Nobody's saying, you know, sing us a song or any of that
this
stuff.
This
is all self-generated.
This is something higher that has put me on a path of artistic spiritual growth. And through that, you know, artistic spiritual growth, I have begun to discover myself as a man and as a leader in my own right for myself and my universe through the art of acting.
Okay, so you come from the Dominican Republic, you figure out how to speak English, you're bombarded essentially by all kinds of music, you spontaneously start to sing this music, you say to yourself, well, that's not so bad.
But it was never for
entertainment purposes. Just for yourself, because it felt good to do, right? Okay, good. So then what?
Then I moved to Florida.
How old were you?
I was 10. I was 10 when I moved to Florida, and I came to Manatee School for the Arts when I was 13.
Why? Do you remember? I mean, did you ask?
My mother saw that I had some kind of musical ability, so she wanted to jump on that before my interest waned. So from there on out, I got to Manatee School for the Arts, and you know, realizing there's other art students there, you tend to open up and do that. From there on out, I started getting into...
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, oh.
That's where I began to discover that I can sing, because...
Was this because of the school, or... They put you up to it, or you decided, or your mother?
They have their arts events, and you sign up if you feel like it.
So did you feel like it?
I felt like I wanted a challenge.
Really?
Yes. My friends told me that I sounded pretty good, so I was like, okay, you know, we sound good. We're not hurting anybody, so let's sign up and let's sing.
What did you sing? Do you remember?
No. No, I do not, but I remember I was shaking in my pants.
Really?
My pants were big enough where they looked straight, but inside it was just like two twigs moving. But after singing, I realized not only the joy brought the audience, but how it made me feel. The fact that it just turns your whole insides the butterfly feeling that you get when you fall in love is literally the feeling that I got when I first performed in front of people.
Wow.
And from there on out, it was like, how do I get better from here?
How do I get better from here? Mm. Not how do I get more of this?
No. Since the beginning of my acting career, or my entertainment career in general, it has always been about growth.
Okay, so this happens when you're 13, right? Okay, and so you stay in the school, assuming, right? And is there more? Are there more?
From Manatee School of the Arts, that's when I had a chance encounter with Kelly Burnett. She's a dance teacher in the city of Sarasota, and she needed men for a chorus line, and that was at 15.
For the play?
For the play chorus line. Right. I had no prior dance experience.
You're kidding.
Yes, I had to learn jazz, ballet, and I forgot what other...
Tap.
Yeah, and tap. Oh, tap.
Well, wait a minute, you're 15?
Yes.
And you had to learn, are you saying you had to learn the routines?
The routines of the show. I wasn't doing dance classes. I just had to learn, my goal was to learn the routines of the show and get past that hump so I can learn the music.
So you did?
Yeah.
So you're kind of a natural dancer, no?
Not a natural dancer. I did a lot of martial arts growing up, so my flexibility and my fast feet, were I was able to keep up with actual dancers. And then from there on out, I seem to have developed a better sense of rhythm and dancing ability, so where I can actually somewhat hold my own. But I have never, besides ballroom classes, I have never had any dancing classes.
Really? I'm surprised.
Yeah.
You look great on stage.
Thank you very much. But yeah.
Okay, so you're 15, uh-huh. and you're doing Chorus Line, right?
Yes.
And so, who were you in Chorus Line?
I was Richie.
Richie?
Yes.
Oh my. So this is also acting.
A very minimal acting, you know, a quick story of the actor when you're in there, but more singing and dancing, a lot more singing
and dancing. Right.
So
was that your first show?
That was my first show ever.
Oh my God.
It was an amazing experience and at the same time nerve-wracking because I'm also getting introduced to dancing styles that I've never thought to go towards. But I'm always up for a challenge, so this is fun.
Really getting thrown in the water.
Yes.
I mean, really, you have to swim.
That's actually what's been my career since I was 15.
And really?
Especially since I started WBTT.
Okay, well, we'll get there. So, wow. So now you are actually in a theatrical production.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Was it mostly hard?
It was hard. It was hard. It was not really my cup of tea when it came to music.
You mean you weren't used to singing this kind of song?
Yes, I wasn't singing the Broadway style musical numbers. So it wasn't really, like I said earlier, it was strictly for the fact that I get stage experience and I get music, time with my voice.
Right.
That was really my only goal, but I didn't really like it per se. So I only stuck to
one
show a year.
This came up as options, but you...
Yes. This came up as, we need guys.
Right.
We hear that you'd be available. I go, yes, I am. What days are the rehearsals? And, that's how it would go. I wouldn't seek the shows.
So what other shows did you do? Do you remember?
I did Chorus Line at 15 at Manatee Players. The next year I did Ragtime. And then the year after that, which was... I missed the year because I was pretty tired of the fact that how much it took out of me. I missed the year. And for my senior high school project was Smokey Joe's Cafe. And that was my first introduction to Harry Bryce and... just a different feel.
Yes.
A different feel when it came to music and production.
Closer to you.
Yeah, closer to me. we're starting to get there. Slowly but surely.
It's so interesting to me because I'm just interested that you kept doing these things that didn't actually feel right for you.
Mm-hmm.
But you did them as both challenges, opportunities for growth, chances to sing,
mm-hmm.
like that?
Yeah, that was really the only thing on my plate.
Wow.
I have school to worry about, so I just made sure everything was handled when it came to homework and school-wise, but after that, I had free reign, so this is the mindset that I established at a very, very young age.
Apparently. So, did you have any classes? I mean, did you study voice? You didn't study dance? Did you study acting?
Not until college. Not until 09.
Okay, so wait. So, while this is going on,
mm-hmm.
have you said to yourself, this is my career, this is what I'm going to do?
No. I like being on stage.
Feels good, this is fun.
This feels good, I like it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I do it for the people, but I never once thought about the people.
No, you're just having a good time.
I'm having a good time,
yeah.
I'm growing, I'm getting better, my voice is getting stronger.
Right?
I would go back to my art school and do my projects there. And, I mean, I didn't train in voice, but I did choir. And choir is more, general.
Right.
You don't get specific training. So, choir is about the only road that I took when it came to studying voice in high school, you know, during high school.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I got into State College of Florida in 09 that I started going for voice.
Well, wait a minute. What did you think you were going to do? You weren't thinking about it.
I wasn't
thinking. You're just coasting.
I'm the type of person that likes, I think, and I don't knock book knowledge because I'm always learning when it comes, you know, I'm always reading and I'm always searching for knowledge. But I've always been, and I think this comes from my martial arts background, I've always been just go for gold. Go for gold.
No matter what you're doing.
No matter what you're doing. Go for gold or don't go for it at all. So if you're, because of that, I've always been a hands-on kind of guy. So, okay, this is a new thing right here. Instead of sitting down and reading it, I can just do it and discover through trial and error. I always knew that trial and error was a great learning process.
And so, and implied in that is that error is okay.
Error is okay.
Error is fine, right.
Michael Jordan didn't become the greatest by just not throw. He says it himself. He threw a specific amount of shots.
To get there. And all those shots didn't get in.
Mm-hmm. And all the shots didn't get in. People were so afraid of
failure.
Looking, you know, failure or looking bad. That this stops a lot of growth sometimes. And the growth that's necessary.
Okay, all right. Where did you get this? Do you know?
No. That's just kind of the mindset you have when you are a martial artist. You know.
So how did you get into martial arts?
I was a real, real big Bruce Lee fan, so Power Rangers and Bruce Lee kind of left an impression. So I was like, Mom, let me get into martial arts. She was like, all right, cool. So she loved it because I would go to school, go to martial arts, come home, and I'd go to sleep. So she'd have to get me food.
Right.
Everything would be done on my behalf, and I'd be in my own little world. Discipline and always consistently becoming better than you were yesterday is definitely... And one of many principles I learned while doing martial arts that keep me going to this day.
That's great. Okay, all right. So you say to your mother that you're really interested in martial arts and you get into martial arts. But then she hears you singing and says, well, you do this. Maybe you want to go to this Manatee Arts School
mm-hmm.
thing. And you say, all right, fine, like that. I mean...
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a kid, you don't really have much choice. Your mom says, we're moving. And it was like... All right, let's pack up. Let's go along. You know.
Right. Okay. So this is so interesting to me because it's so clear what you do, and it seemed to me that you must always have known that, and clearly you did not know that.
No.
So when you're in high school and you're applying to college,
mm-hmm.
do you have any idea what you might want to do with your life?
Because of influences from Dominicans coming from New York back into the country, we've become a little more, you know, liberal in our thought process and our fashion and our music. But growing up, it was very conservative. So from what I saw in observation, you were either one of four things. You were a doctor or a military man. You were a lawyer or a construction worker or a labor worker. You know, so growing up, I kind of wanted to be a doctor, and that was more my thing. I loved science, and I wanted to go for that. My mother, and then entertainment started to creep in, and my mother wanted me to keep on going for medical.
You bet.
So I tried a year in 2009 in SCF where I was going to major in medical sciences and minor in music. That way, I gave mom what she needed.
Yeah.
I got what I needed.
Right. So there is in you the growing, I don't know what, commitment to, interest in, desire for music.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So you weren't going to give that up.
I wasn't.
You're going to give that up, even though you were going to try and be a good boy. Do what your mother said you should be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the year one, you're majoring in medical science and you're minoring in music. Then what happens?
Of course, I'm going to take my musical studies a lot more serious than my academic classes. But I went there for 2 years, or a year and a half, actually. While there in my first year, I had a lot of other peers that I went through high school with who were very into music, like I was, passionately. And it was real nice. It was real cool because I had peers that I can grow with, who were much better than I will, so they would push me.
Better than you?
Yeah.
In what way?
In my musical studies. As a performer, as a composer. So towards the middle of the first year, they already had all their credits. They already went to their colleges because they were in accelerated programs.
Ah.
So in the middle of the first year, I'm by myself, technically. And I have friends and I have acquaintances who are in the program, but they're there, they're going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, I feel something different. There's a fire with me that's much stronger focus. So I would go to school and I'd be really excited to go to these classes. Of course, it'd be early in the morning and I'd be groggy, but I'd be internally excited. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm waking up, I'm going to learn music from the basic blocks, and we're going to become this awesome musician and composer in 4 or 5 years. That was my thought process. Again, to find out that I didn't have the patience for book knowledge. Two, I didn't have the peers around me that really had that passionate flame.
Yeah.
To push me to like mm-hmm. book knowledge.
Right.
In turn.
To do the work. Right.
Yeah.
The kind of thing you had at the martial arts.
Yeah, and martial arts and Manitou School for
right.
Arts.
Right. You had a community mm. that was like-minded, right? And so you
naturally grow with and you
that's
go.
That's right.
It.
That's yeah. right. That's right. Right.
Since I felt that I didn't have those individuals around me, and you know, at the same time we're talking about 18, 19 year olds. So very rarely you're going to have a super passion come through.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, you know, is going through the motions. Oh, I got to wake up for exam.
Yeah,
oh,
right.
Why am I here?
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking, really? Why are you here?
Yeah. Right.
If you don't like music, you don't like come to here. If you don't like to grind the workout
yeah.
as it is right here, then why are you here? Why? So you can become a teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to at least shoot for the stars and land on the moon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can at least do that. So I ran out of patience during my second year, and I said, you know what? Book knowledge is wonderful. It's all gravy. I don't knock anybody who has it. But I'm going to go back to the strategy that I had beforehand, which is hands-on.
Okay.
Hands-on knowledge is the best knowledge. Trial and error is the best for me. So I took a hiatus off of the whole school for about a year. And then I met Emmanuel Abraham. He's a performer with the WBTT. And we both started out in Marvin Gaye. It was our first show.
How did that happen?
I had been working with Emmanuel as an entertainer.
How?
He would promote parties around around the city and the urban clubs that were more geared towards the youth. And I would come sing occasionally, and we would go out to certain things. And I was in Dominican Republic, and he was in rehearsals for that. And previously, I auditioned for Nate as it was almost like nonchalant. I really wasn't supposed to be there, but Emmanuel wanted me to meet him. So I came in, I did what Emmanuel said, and I auditioned, and I just went on my way. And I was like, I gotta go to vacation. But I get called by Emmanuel that Mr. Jacobs wants to see me. Okay, you know, why not? Let's try this out. I tried it out. I loved it.
Wait a minute. Try it out what? You tried out
the Marvin Gaye
Marvin
show.
Marvin Gaye
yeah, he wanted me to come to the show because he needed an extra character, and he felt I had a nice spirit, nice work ethic to me. So I come back from Dominican Republic.
Is this a vacation or that's the hiatus?
No, it wasn't really a hiatus, but growing up, I would take 9 months in America and 3 months over there.
Oh.
That would always be my school years. So I would get...
You and your mom would go
just
home?
Just me.
Just you?
Just me. I've been flying on an airplane since I was 5. By myself.
Because you wanted to or because they wanted you?
That was...
Because your mother didn't want you to lose touch?
Yeah.
They didn't, like
yeah.
that?
She didn't want me to lose touch, so she would give me the you know...
So you would go
experience.
To relatives?
I would go to my father in the summer.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was growing up like that, and before going to Marvin Gaye, that was actually my last true vacation as, you know, going from teenager into adult.
Yeah.
So I was like, from here on out, you gotta tell everybody at home. It's like, I won't be able to come and stay for 3 months like I always do.
Right.
Now I'm older, I have to work, and I have to do stuff.
Right. Wow.
So I came back from that, and I went into Marvin Gaye, and I love Marvin Gaye. He's one of the influences that I fell in love with in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I should have probably said this earlier, since me and my uncle are the only musical talents, we're a young family overall. So my uncle is, I'm 23, he's 7 years older than I am.
Wow.
Yeah. So, he's my uncle.
Yeah, your peers.
Yeah, he's more like a bigger brother. So I've always been at his heels. He went into hip-hop, and hip-hop around that time had a lot of 70s samples where they take little snippets, they rework it, and make their own instrumentals and put rhymes over it. My introduction to hip-hop is what introduced me to soul and made me fall in love with the music that was around me and discover more music for that matter, because none of my peers were listening to Marvin Gaye at that time.
Really?
Growing up, nobody really... Older, you know, older folks would love it, but me, I'd just be listening to something my peers wouldn't even have any interest in.
Right.
So I was always stuck in my own little world. So that brought back all that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, this is the type of training I've been looking for. This is the type of theater I've been looking for. This type of music I've been looking for.
This is home.
Uh-huh. So I did Marvin Gaye, and I love the fact that I can sing background for Marvin Gaye music. And then I got reintroduced to Harry Bryce, literally the next show after, which was Five Guys Named Mo, which I decided to pull double duty, do two shows at one time.
Oh.
Which was...
You mean do Marvin Gaye and rehearse Five Guys? Is that what you mean? Uh-huh.
We figured out a schedule where I would be able to take an hour and a half before every call time, and then it would be a day. One full day of just nonstop dancing and singing and drilling just to make sure I had my part. And for a new guy to take on two shows.
And Five Guys ain't easy.
And Five Guys ain't easy.
No, definitely.
My toes.
No,
and that was before we had the little stage.
Right.
So we were dancing on concrete. There would be like little callus builds on our shins.
Oh, dear.
Every night from all the stomping. And I threw myself into the fire right there. It's like, I have a show, I have an opportunity. Let's go into this next show and juggle this so that from there on out, this hook, line, and sinker, I can keep on growing.
Yeah.
And then from there on out, I just fell in love. I've been falling in love with every show that's been put in front of me. And Nate as a mentor and as a friend has helped me grow these past 5 years, astonishing. And a lot of our strategy is go in the fire. What is this? Does this look good? Does this grow? Can we do this? Can we grow? It's like, yeah, sure, why not? All right, let's go. Let's do it. And then...
Well, Little Shop, that was a stretch, wasn't it?
That was real fun. It was a stretch. I'm not going to lie. Like I said earlier, I don't have the focus to really learn lines like that.
Yeah,
I did. through a lot of drilling, but it doesn't come naturally.
Wow.
So I had to work a lot on that, but I didn't feel like I was too detached from Seymour, because I felt it was me.
Yeah.
I mean, besides the plant killing and then all that other stuff.
Right. The guy was
the
you.
The guy was me. Oh, I felt most, out of all my characters, most connected with the largest portion of me.
Wow.
So to be shy, and I still kind of am a shy kind of introvert in an extrovert job.
Yeah, right.
So looking at that, I realized like, wow, I've grown a lot, but not only am I still growing, I'm learning. Now I'm really starting to understand that as an actor, these characters you're playing are just aspects of not only the human psyche, but also some of the messages that you, while you're playing, they speak back to you and go, I didn't think of it like that before. Mm-hmm. And it's those realizations are beautiful because you go home and you sit down and you think, and after a show, you go, you know, you don't have nothing else to do. You go home and think about that part, and you just, I like to spend a lot of time just internally digesting all the material that I have and figuring out with that material, how can I grow?
Yeah, integrating it.
Yeah, integrating into mm-hmm. into the
into
person,
you
into the person. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but Little Shop was so fun though. I can I can be me.
Mm-hmm.
I can be a complete fool.
Yes.
On
right.
stage
right.
and
right.
just, you know, pratfall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
act
yeah,
all
yeah.
nerdy.
Right. Silly.
And it was beautiful. I hope to find a role that's more, you know, more exciting than that, but that's has to be
to date
the role that makes me most excited. I there wasn't a day that I didn't go there without a smile, and I mean I gave so much to the point where I don't know if you heard, but my last performance my voice was shot.
Oh no.
29 performances of great fun filled performances, and the last one I couldn't finish it the way I wanted to, and it was kind of disappointing because I didn't give the audience the experience that I originally wanted to give them.
So, have you studied voice since then? Because that's some of it is about that, about figuring out how not to lose that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I studied opera with Randy Locke at SCF,
mm-hmm.
Very very temporarily, and that is really the only vocal lesson, like school vocal lesson, that I've gone through. Other than that, it's just been me and Mr. Jacobs in a studio working out, like, here's what you know, he's a much more experienced singer than I am. He knows how to connect to a higher power when he's singing and performing and giving people, you know, that warm fuzzy feeling inside. So he has been my vocal teacher for the past 5 years, but I started out beforehand just groping in the dark trying to figure out, okay, if I buy these CDs of warm-ups I can keep myself warmed up, but I have to go through these shows to grow, because I noticed that after every show I was a much better singer, so I knew that something was working in my strategy.
Right.
But for the past 5 years, me and Mr. Jacobs have been just ironing out the kinks and making those cats and dogs scream, but
making
now,
those cats and dogs scream?
Yeah, no, it's a figure of speech.
It's not one I ever heard.
What's it called? But just recently, actually, even maybe a month or two before Little Shop, I've just now begun to become comfortable with myself as a singer.
Wow.
Yes. So my journey of singing is not done, but it's come to a self-realization. I was like, okay, here's where I am, which is a much better place than I was 5 years ago. And now I can focus on other things. I realized that as I've gone, acting has integrated itself and kind of tipped the scale over. And even with starting at WBTT, I was still focusing on voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do I get better? How do I become a better singer?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until a year ago. It wasn't until not even Harry Belafonte. Actually, it wasn't until Little Shop that I'd begun looking at acting.
It's a character.
Yeah,
right.
As a character.
It's a real character.
And studying that. And
because Harry is really about the singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Harry's about the singing, but Little Shop was the character.
It was all character. That's
all
exactly
character.
Right.
And then from there on out, Mr. Jacobs has always told me that, you know, eventually we got to get acting lessons. Mr. Bryce also said the same thing. He's like, so now the goal is to solidify myself as an actor. So now I'm starting to take acting classes, which I won't be doing right now because I have a lot on my plate, but I'll start taking more acting classes. I'm leaning towards film and television more because, the schedule is much lighter where you can be an entrepreneur, a self-entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what's going on now. Let's talk about Violet.
Yes. Violet Violet is a show about a young woman who has a freak accident growing up in the mountains with her father, where he's chopping wood, hatchet comes off, gets her smack dab in the face. Mm. She grows up in the small town where she's teased, so her sense of self and the reality of herself is kind of distorted. She goes on a journey to find external healing, from a preacher. During the journey, she meets two individuals who not only befriend her, which is different from her small little town, so it begins to open her, the trip in itself begins to open her eyes to the world is just a bigger place. Mm-hmm. There's different kind of people. The same thing you get in a small town is not the same thing you get in a big town. So through that journey, she befriends them. There also is a possible love triangle that develops in the process. But she goes looking out for this external healing and realizes it's not quite like she expected. Because we befriend her and we fall in love with her, there's a different sense of self that begins to come out.
She sees herself differently.
She sees herself differently. Mm-hmm. She's still going for the external healing. But when she comes back, she's finally accepted the fact that I should make the best of this. You know, she learns to love herself when another individual begins to love her for who she is. Mm-hmm. So that self-realization of self-love and growth is a very touching experience. This is the first show where I have a mixture of country, blues, soul, gospel, genres that I haven't touched yet.
Wow.
So it's a phenomenal experience with phenomenal characters, and then the message, self-love. Mm-hmm. To love yourself and to love the others around you, and we can just make this a better place.
Yeah, it doesn't get better than that.
It doesn't get better than self-love.
No, it really doesn't. Okay, so are you playing a character
Yes.
that feels comfortable to you, or is this a stretch?
I'm playing a character that feels very comfortable, and actually is quite close to me. It is not a stretch per se. It's not as much of a character stretch as Little Shop was with Seymour, but I have to develop a more mature presence, mature voice, because I speak very high tone sometimes. So I'm kind of grounding myself and becoming more earthy, more comfortable on stage as a more mature presence. So stretching in there, and then my character has somewhat of a twang to him, which I'm not used to speaking in. So I have a battle where I speak proper, and then I have to go into a twang. Because then I also have to sing proper. It's not like I can sing with a twang. So there's some stretching, but not as intense and as focused as Little Shop was.
Great. It's great. Yeah. It's great. At WBTT, the Artist Voices things, you're going to do something, mm-hmm. right? You want to say something about that?
Yes. Currently, I have coming up a showcase on March 2nd. It's a young artist program that West Coast Black Theater Troupe has developed for the sake of educational funds for the career and the growth process of a student, which is acting classes, voice classes, piano, guitar. The funds from those showcase go towards educational things that progress the artist towards another aspect of himself where he can grow.
Great.
The first one I did 2 years ago was more for an introduction, Here I am,
right.
This is what I'm doing,
right.
This is, a little bit of my life story. But this second one, I actually go into a lot of that spiritual stuff. My theme is I love music.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. I mean, I love music. Music holds a very high place in not only myself, but it's such an integral part of the human organism that has to be given to the people. You know, we do this not for ourselves. We do this for the people. So it's a show explains my love for music, but it's more of a show geared towards giving a good time and then also introducing new things that people might not have expected of me. Like I'll be singing a Spanish song, which most people didn't know I could sing in Spanish.
Is it written? Is it done?
It's the set list is done, mm-hmm. but it's still up and, you know, getting on its feet. It will slowly get on its feet. I know in the process of doing the show, I'll be juggling a lot of things, but March 2nd, there will be a show. It'll be a phenomenal show that we'll have a lot of fun with, mm-hmm. and it's gonna be a great experience for everybody. And I'm actually in the process of creating a rehearsal schedule, so I'll be doing Violet and rehearsing for this showcase.
Yet again,
double duty and growth. Mm-hmm. Because the moment we end Violet on the 1st, my concert's on the 2nd.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, so I'm trying something different this year. Well, I think of it like this: we've done enough growth, self-wise, and we've just recently I was able to be honored and blessed with the John Ringling Towers Fund, which is a very, very high artistic grant in the city that, you know, the city has recognized my work, even though it was so unintentional.
What do you mean? Oh, you mean you weren't trying?
I wasn't trying to sign up for it.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect to win it, so that's why I say it's an honor and a blessing.
Really? And so, how did you get that?
See, they have three categories: performance, visual, and artistic, like painting. Mm-hmm. So I submitted for the actually it came down through the company, and they...
You mean WBTT?
WBTT, the grants came through them, and they picked the individuals that they felt were most qualified to do it.
So what did you submit? Do you know?
I submitted a video reel that mm-hmm. I've been actually in the process of working on since I started with shows from Marvin Gaye to Aretha, Love Song in the Key of Aretha, Harry and Lena, and we're going to add some Little Shop in it. But I submitted that with some other questions that they asked me. How do I feel about art? I gave them my interpretation of what I feel acting does for not only the human being, which I talked to a little about earlier, but for myself and for the people that come to experience it. So with the reel and those questions, they seem to have put me in the top tier, and then all of a sudden I get this call that from Jim Shirley,
mm-hmm.
that I got the grant.
Wow. So, and the grant is a certain amount of money,
yes,
right?
A certain amount of money.
And what else?
And also I want to say 3 weeks at the Hermitage.
Wow.
Where I will be polishing up Harry at King of Calypso and creating a new demo, which I feel will be my first demo, actual demo where I can actually begin to market properly and grow. That's my new foundation where I can grow and rebrand myself in.
Yes. The growing up Michael.
Yeah,
the
grown up Michael. Yeah,
yeah.
The different, the more experienced Michael. Yeah. I do work for my growth, but also for the experience that we give people, because we as entertainers are kind of like ministers of the spirit, in a sense. You come in, the audience comes in from their world, and we're given the job to take you from that reality, bring you to our reality. We give you a message, because every show has a message. We give you a message, and we give you this great entertaining fun that speaks not only to your, you know, to your foot, but speaks to your heart as well. So we have this high power to change people's reality and change how they feel about themselves and how they perceive the universe around them. So when I go for shows, I go with it with that mindset. There's growth, but then there's this experience that we have for people.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Harry?
Yes, yes. Harry and Lena is going to be a piece that goes in and out of workshop like any other
right.
show. You know, we've developed also a one-man piece, which mm-hmm. we call Harry the King of Calypso, and that is the same, you know, Harry Belafonte song, but it's more geared towards keeping me on the material and growing as Harry, because I always have to make sure I have my proper study about him and make sure I don't go too far out from what Harry is. Uh-huh. So we developed the show to go around the city and go other locations eventually when touring becomes a possibility. And we keep that there, and then hopefully we can bring it back as a bigger show.
Right.
In either WBDT or in another venue.
Right.
So that's really all we're doing.
My goodness!
Juggling Violet and the showcase, I mean, go for gold or don't go for it at all.
Right.
You know?
Right.
If we're training, if supposedly as aspiring artists, and this goes for any aspiring artist in the city of Sarasota or Bradenton, if we're supposed to be going for what the big boys do, then at some point in time we have to make big boys' decisions. Just like they do. They go into one production they'll have three movies ready for the year that they've already done. So it's okay to get all this training and stuff like that, but after a while you have to start.
You want to do the thing.
Yeah, you want to do the thing, so that means buckling down and putting yourself in very uncomfortable situations. Me, on the other hand, I'm not in an uncomfortable situation, but I'm pretty tired, though.
But, yeah, well, you want to do this when you're your age.
Yeah, so, and I want to make sure I do this right. My goal in the end is growth. If I go for growth, everything else follows. And I've been lucky enough and blessed enough where that's all I've been doing. And the universe has reciprocated that love back.
I said yes.
Yes. Like, you're on the right path.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
So it's just every day I'm just happy. I'm doing what I love. And I'm blessed to say to myself that I'm a 23-year-old aspiring professional, and I live off of my art.
That is the perfect place to stop. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Come out and see Michael in Violet, which opens on
February 11th.
And
so
runs
March
through
1st.
March 1st.
Yes.
And then come out and see him on March 2nd.
For the I Love Music Artist Showcase on March 2nd at WBTT.
Yay. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Michael says, I'm just happy I'm doing what I love. How many people can say that about their lives? And what about you? Can you say, I'm happy because I'm doing what I love? Can you say, I am at peace because I am in sync with myself? When you listen to Michael, do you feel, yeah, right, that's also true about me, lucky me and you, Michael? Or do you think, oh dear, wouldn't that be lovely? Can I say I am happy because I am doing what I love? Am I at peace, at one with myself? And if the answer is not a screaming yes, are you willing to ask yourself how you lost that? Because I believe everyone has that. It has to be taken from you. It's like the song from South Pacific, you have to be carefully taught to ignore yourself, to deny yourself. So, do you know how that happened? Do you know how you lost the permission to be and do what you love? And do you want to try and get some of that back, maybe all of that back? That is, of course, what psychotherapy is about, and I forgot to mention that I'm a therapist, in complete disclosure, so you know where all this is coming from. If you want to talk to me about that, if you want to explore the possibility of recovering what you lost, I have a website. It is thelinshow.com. THELYNNESHOW. Don't leave the E out of Lynn. And I've written a book and you can get it up there. It's called When You Can, You Will. Why You Can't Always Do What You Want to Do and What to Do About It. You can also hear all of the shows, including this one, in podcast form. You can listen to them or download them. Well, as always, I hope you got something you can use from this show. Something that amused you, inspired you, something even that annoyed you, as long as it's something that will bring you back, because I will be back next week, same time, same station. And as always, I sure hope you will be too.
You see, I'm getting older. My hair is turning gray. Oh, you say my face and figure have both seen better days. Well, I won't be retiring. I won't slip out of sight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I just keep returning like some goddamn boomerang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. You see that I have had my shot. My time has come and gone. Oh, won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Well, I won't be relegated. Oh, fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, dang, no, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight, no. Go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper. I may have gotten limper, but I won't.